Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Good morning and welcome to Crossroads Church. It's so good to see each and every one of you this morning. I'm going to jump right into the word. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 15. And most of you've probably heard this story. I'm going to start with verse 11 and I'm going to read the verse 24, and I know that's a lot for some of you. That will be like your reading plan for the entire year. So stay with me. Starting with verse 11, the Bible says, "Once there was a father with two sons. And the younger son came to his father and said, 'Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me?' So the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. Shortly afterward, the younger son packed up all of his belongings and traveled out to see the world. He journeyed to a far-off land where he soon wasted all that he was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living." How many can relate this morning? "With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry, for there was a severe famine in the land. He begged a farmer in that country to hire him. The farmer hired him and he sent him out to feed the pigs." Sounds like a good job. "The son who was famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to the pigs because no one would feed him a thing. Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing and he thought." Another translation says, "He came to his senses. 'There are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I dying here of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back home to my father's house and I will say to him, 'Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees.' So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said, 'Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be.' The father interrupted and said, 'Son, you're home now.' Turning to his servants, the father said, 'Quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship. I will put it on his finger. And bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. He was once lost, but now he is found.' And everyone celebrated with overwhelming joy." Today is Back to Church Sunday. And we're so pumped about this day. And we're so blessed to have each and every one of you with us this morning. And we just want to say welcome home. Today is going to be an incredible day. And I want to go ahead and tell you that today might just possibly change the direction of your life forever. Because not only did we plan this day, but more so God planned this day. And God planned this day before we planned it. And God planned this day before you were even born, sir, in the back. God planned this day before you were born, ma'am. So you can say today is going to be a really big day. Because God planned this day. And because today is back to church Sunday. It feels good to be back in church, doesn't it? Even if you was just here last Sunday, it still feels good to be back in church. How many would say it feels good to be back in church this morning? If it feels good, then tell your face that. It feels good. Maybe it's been 10 years. 6 months. 2 years. A while. Some of you have been planning on coming back to church many Sundays, but things got in the way. Am I right? You've been planning on coming back to church many times, but things came up. Those things have stopped you, blocked you, and prevented you from coming back to church, but you're here. You made it. And I just want to say, welcome home, y'all. There's a song that I love, and it's called Take Me Back to Church. And I want to sing that for you this morning. Are you ready? Let's go.
It was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they see me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. I tried to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Shelter for the sinners, and I'm right where I belong.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome back to church. Wow. Okay, here we go. Welcome back to church. The Bible says that the sun set off for a distant country. Another translation says that he went out to see the world. How many of you know what it's like to want to go out and to see the world? Come on, let's be real this morning. How many have tasted all that the world has to offer? I want to take this story that Jesus told, this parable that he taught, and I want to use it to preach this sermon on Back to Church Sunday. But the first thing that I want you to get is the son left home. Turn to your neighbor and say, the son left home. The son left home. How many of you know believers that have left the church? Let me see your hands. 59% of millennials who were raised in the church have left the church. Even church leaders are leaving the church. 1,500 pastors walk away from the church monthly. And the number is growing. People that we know have left the church. People that used to sit by us. People that used to be in our connect group. People that we used to pass in the foyers. People that we used to see raising their hands, worshiping God in service. People that we used to hear shouting, praise God, hallelujah, preach it, pastor, have left the church. And they're leaving in large numbers. People are walking away from the church. And many people have good reasons for leaving the church. Can we be real? Church is full of people. And a lot of times we don't represent Christ the way we should as a church, and we force people away from the church. But is leaving the church really the answer? I'm going to answer that today. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, and I'm going to read this twice. I'm going to read it from the NIV translation, and then I'm going to read it from the Voice translation. This is Paul preaching to the church of Corinth, and he says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people together. I could say amen right there and go home. We're called to be his holy people together. We're not called to be holy separate. We're not called to be holy alone. We're not called to be holy islands. We're called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Voice translation says, to the God's church gathering in the city of Corinth. How many of you know that we are God's church gathering in the city of Council Bluffs? As people who are united with Jesus, the Anointed One, you have been set apart, not to stand apart, but to stand together. For his service, you are called into what? Community. Community. To live as saints with all who invoke the name of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. The Bible says we're called to be holy together. Church, we're called to gather together. The word church in the Greek is the word ekklesia. Everyone say ekklesia. And this word translated means a gathering. So a church is a gathering of people, real people just like you and I. Messed up people, Cindy. People who have it together and people who don't have it together, Tom. The title of today's sermon is To Gather. No, it's not Southern. The title of today's sermon is Together. That was your cue. Awesome. We're called to gather together. Anytime I say the word together, I want you to shout gather. So for practice, together. Yeah. One more time, together. Yeah. We're called to gather. Yeah. Come on, you got to wait on your cue. The church is a very important place for us to gather. It's not the only place that we should gather, but it's a very important place for us to gather together. I got some of you. Some of you are sharp. Some of you need more coffee. I know many people, and possibly some of you have said things like this: I don't have to go to church to be saved, Pastor. I can do church at home all alone. I've been hurt by church people. I don't need those people. I don't need a church. The church is full of hypocrites. Praise God. I don't go to church because they judge me. But like it or not, for better or for worse, the church is the body of Christ. And we can't be a body if we're not connected. We're called to gather together. The body of Christ is called to gather together. How many have heard this before? You don't go to church, you are the church. But at the same time, and this is point number one, you can't be the church if you don't go to church. I want to say that one more time because I want to upset someone. And it's probably those of you listening online. You can't be the church if you don't go to church, because we're called to gather together. We're called to be holy together. Thank you. And to say we're the church is to say we're a part of a church. Because remember, the church is the body of Christ. But to say we're the church, but we're not a part of a church, or we don't need the church, is like looking into a mirror and saying, I don't need these arms. Or I don't need these legs. And while you can get by without arms or legs because people do it every day, it's not ideal. And it's not how the body was created to function. Nor was the body of Christ. Because you're not a body when you're separated. You're a body part. And how many know that body parts cannot function on their own? Come on, think about it. Do I need to bring a volunteer up and cut their arm off? You can't use it. Therefore, you aren't being used in the body of Christ. Over the next few moments, I'm going to say the word together, but I'm going to give you a break from shouting gather just for a few moments until I tell you otherwise. We're the church when we gather together. And the early church understood this principle. The early church understood that gathering together was an essential part of the process of being a believer. They understood that they needed each other. They understood that they had to gather together. They understood that there would be times where they wanted to quit and to walk away and to give up on the church. But they understood that there's strength in numbers, and that together we can, but alone we can't. They understood. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, the Bible says that they gathered together daily. If we really want to be the church, we'd gather daily instead of just weekly. But let's be real. Gathering daily can be really difficult with all of our busy lives and busy schedules. And for some, gathering weekly is really difficult, if we were honest. How many would say, I've got a busy life? I've got a busy schedule, Pastor. Church seems to be sacrificed for so many other things, like sports, weekend getaways, and if we were really honest, we would say to simply sleep in or to get some rest because it's my only day off, Pastor. Believe me, I know. And because life is so busy, we think that we can just listen to a sermon online, jam out to worship on the way to work, and that's good enough. But it's not good enough. And my job today is to convince some of you of that. Go ahead and have a seat, son. But I've got a great defense this morning, the Word of God. But listen, if you do happen to have any rebuttals this morning, you can email them to jessie@crossroadscb.org. She will gladly respond. Her mailbox is going to be full Monday morning. Paul preached a similar sermon in Hebrews chapter 10. Because apparently some of the believers that used to gather together for church had stopped gathering together for church. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible says, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We don't just gather to do church, we gather because we are the church. And gathering together on Sundays is like the Kansas City Chiefs gathering together for a huddle. And when they say amen or break or clap their hands, where do they go? What do? Do they take a seat? Do they go home? No, they take their position. Church, I said they take their position. They take their position to run the play that the coach or the QB just shouted into their ears or preached to them. Oh my goodness, now I'm preaching. Church is to position you. I said church is to position you. The huddle is to relay the play. I'm just relaying the play. But listen, I'm relaying what the coach is speaking. But at times, it can be hard to understand what the coach is speaking, especially when he uses those crazy, weird signs. What does that even mean? I saw that yesterday. What do you want me to do, coach? When we gather together, and when we say amen, when we clap our hands, and when we break, we're supposed to get into position. Because church is to position you to run the play that the QB just preached. This service will position you for the week. Sunday will position you for every other day of the week, Monday through Saturday. The dreaded Monday, Sunday positions you for Monday. Hump day Wednesday, Sunday positions you for Wednesday. But listen, if all we ever do is just gather together for a Sunday service, we're not being the church. Because this isn't the end result. This is just the huddle. I said, this is just the huddle. This is where we relay the play. This is where we get into position to carry out the play. This is where we get on the same page so we understand what the vision, what the mission is. Don't get me wrong, the huddle is vital. It's vital to be in a church. It's vital to the mission of the church. It's vital to our everyday mission as believers. The huddle is vital. Sunday services are vital to your life. It's vital to gather together. But if all we ever do is just gather for a service, raise our hands, say amen, and go home, we're not the church. We're not doing what he's called us to do. But I do believe that gathering together sets the tone for everything else. It sets the tone for your week, for your work, for your mindset, for your attitude, for your perspective, for your faith. It sets the tone. See, if believers truly understood how greatly affected their faith is when they gather or do not gather together with other believers, it greatly, greatly impacts you. It impacts your faith when you gather together with other like-minded people, with people that have faith when you don't, with people that can encourage you when you're going through a discouraging season, with people that will pick you up when you fall, when people that will surround you, hug on you, love on you, pray with you, walk with you, encourage you in those difficult moments that you're ready to walk away and throw in the towel is so important. We need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. So church is to position you. But Paul said that some have gotten into the habit of not gathering together. People we know have gotten into the habit of not gathering together. Some people that you know have gotten into the habit of not gathering together. Some of you have gotten into the habit of not gathering together. Not coming to church can become a habit, just like that. Coming to church is a formed habit. It's a discipline. But how many know it's easier to break a habit than it is to form a habit? So we must gather. Everything in the world will compete with you gathering, believer. Every demon in hell will try to stop you from gathering, church. People will even discourage you from gathering. But coming to church will bless your life. I said, coming to church will bless your life. How many of you have already been blessed this morning? Let me see your hands. You were blessed the moment you walked into our doors by our wonderful greeters with their great big smile. And hopefully with fresh breath and a hug. You were blessed this morning at our altars by our prayer warriors. You were blessed with a prayer. You were blessed with their faith, and again, hopefully with fresh breath and a hug. We encourage that all the time. Papa Mint, Papa Mint. We were all blessed by our praise and worship team. Can we give them a great big hand this morning? But they're so far away, it doesn't matter about their breath. So. And oh my, the sermon. We're blessed. We're blessed. Our life is blessed when we gather together. We're blessed when we gather together. In verse 25, Paul said that we gather together to encourage one another. Church is to encourage you. We gather not for ritual, not for religion, but because of the reality that life is hard and we all need to be encouraged. Hebrews 3:13 says to encourage one another daily. How many of you just need to be encouraged on Sundays? No, we need to be encouraged daily. And Paul said, as you see the day approaching, this day is referring to the return of Christ, which is the most important day that we need to be ready for. Or let me say it this way, that we need to make it to. And believe it or not, this day is coming. And it's not good enough just to start this race. We have to finish it. And that's what Paul was saying. He said we need to gather together daily and encourage one another daily so that we can all finish this race together. But to make it to this day, we're going to go through many, many, many difficult days. There will be days where you struggle with your faith and days that you lack faith. There will be days where you want to give up, days that you want to walk away, leave the church, throw in the towel. There will be discouraging days, depressing days. There will be days of opposition, deception, and even persecution. Difficult days are common. The Bible says, more difficult than any other time, difficult days are approaching. That's why Paul said, do not neglect gathering together. So on difficult days, we must gather. On discouraging days, we must gather. On depressing days, we must gather. When I pause, I want you to shout, gather. When we're ready to give up, we must. Gather. When we're ready to walk away, we must. Gather. When we're ready to throw in the towel, we must. Gather. Not just on Sundays, we must. Gather. But on Mondays, we must. Gather. Daily, we must. And as a church, we will. Gather. So every day, somehow, somewhere, in some way, we will. Gather. Let's go back to the prodigal. Luke chapter 15, verse 13. The son set off for a distant country. Point number two, distancing yourself is disconnecting yourself. I said, distancing yourself is disconnecting yourself. When you distance yourself, believer, you disconnect yourself from the body of Christ. When the son left home, he distanced himself from the father, from the father's house, which also disconnected him from the father, from the father's house, from his wealth, from all of his goods, not to mention his food. Which is exactly what takes place when we leave the church. We distance ourselves from the Father in all of His goodness. And you can argue that you're still a part of the body of Christ, but I'll argue you might be, but you're a non-functioning part. You're a disconnected part. And non-functioning, disconnected parts of the body are really no good for the body. So we must be connected. We must gather together, because we need each other. The world needs us to be united. A world at its worst needs a church at its best. A city at its worst needs a church at its best. Think of all the problems that come with not being connected. Being disconnected. It's a major problem when you need to take a selfie, but you're not connected to Wi-Fi. Isn't that right, girls? It's like the end of the world. It's horrible. The son found himself disconnected from the Father in all of his goodness. And in verse 17 in the Voice translation, the Bible says that the son had a moment of self-reflection. Now let's go to the story. Where is the son? In a pig's pen. And in that pig's pen, the son had a moment of self-reflection. And in fact, the Bible says that he even asked himself, what am I doing here? And I just picture the prodigal. I picture him sitting down in that pig pen, looking over that pig stall, looking into the muddy, murky waters and asking himself, what am I doing here? And seeing himself through the reflection of the muddy, murky waters, he was a mess. He made a mess of his life. He was dirty, he was filthy, he was sinful. What am I doing here? Have you ever looked into a mirror and asked yourself, what am I doing here? How did I get here? How did I end up here? In verse 18, he said it was much better back home at my father's house. He said, I want to go back home. I want to go back to my father's house. This is the father's house. You're sitting in the father's house this morning. And praise God, some of you chose to return home to the father's house this morning. But I can imagine how hard, how difficult it could have been for the prodigal to return home and to face the father. What would the father say? He was a mess, church. He made a mess of his life. And just like the prodigal, some of you have made a mess of your life. And coming back to church can be so hard. What will people say? What will they think of me? But if it's a real church, they'll say, welcome home. But coming back can be so hard. What will people think? What will they say? But thankfully, church isn't for perfect people. It's for messy people. It's for broken people. It's for real people. Church is for real people. People who've made a real mess of their lives. See, a church isn't a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. It's a shelter for the sinners. But again, coming back to church can be so hard. It's hard for the prodigal returning home, broken and battered by the world. It's hard coming back to church when you fell and made a mess of your life. It's hard for those who distanced themselves and disconnected themselves from the body of Christ. It's hard. It's hard for the lost, for the broken, for the bound, for the addicted. It's hard for the sinners. It's hard. It's hard for those who feel like they don't belong. Have you ever stood outside of a circle and felt like you didn't belong in that circle? The son felt like he didn't belong at his own home. Some of you feel like you don't belong at your own home. I wonder how many of you here, don't raise your hands, feel like you don't belong at your own home. In a circle. That's exactly how the son felt. And I've heard sermons, it was his fault. He made a mess of his life. But my response is, he's human. We've all made mistakes. We've all made a mess of our lives. There's no perfect people in this place. We've all fallen. We've all come up short the glory of God. But yet Paul said his grace is always, always sufficient for me and for you. The son felt like he didn't belong at home. And in verse 21, he said, I'm unworthy to return home. He said, I'm unworthy to be called your son. He felt like he didn't belong. He made a mess of his life. But notice that throughout the whole story, the prodigal is always, always, always referred to as a son. His status never changed, church. He's still a son. Even though he left home, even though he made a mess of his life, he's still a son. But I can imagine how hard it must have been for him to drag himself back home to face the Father, to admit his guilt. But the greatest message of this story is that the Father was waiting for the Son the entire time. From the very moment the Son left, the Father was waiting for him to return home. He was waiting with open arms, ready and waiting to say, "Welcome home, Son." Maybe you're here today, and it's been a very long time since you've been in church. Maybe you feel like you don't belong in church, in this circle. But I want you to know, no, I need you to know, that you belong. You belong here because church is a place that you belong. So you belong. Even though you might have made a mess of your life, even though you might have left home, you belong. You're still a son. You're still a daughter. You're still a child of God. No matter where you are, where you've been, or what you've done, you're still a child of God. And you belong. So can I just say, welcome home? In verse 23, the Bible says that the Father said to the servants. How many are servants to the Father this morning? Let me see your hands. Church, we're the servants in this story. We're the ones that were already at home. You're the servants. So you have a position to take. You have a job to do. Now, those of you that returned home today for the first time in a long time, you're the son. But picture this. The Father said to the servants, "Let's prepare a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine that was dead is now alive. The son that was lost is now found. Let's prepare a feast for him and let's celebrate." Come on, church, let this hit home. Who are the servants? We are. And we're supposed to be preparing a feast, setting a table for the prodigals returning home. That's our job. We're supposed to open our doors wide. We're supposed to go out and reach them. See, after they prepared the table or prepared the feast and they set the table, the servants went and got the prodigal. And they brought him to the table. And the prodigal took his place at the table. And they all gathered around the table. This is where the real celebration began. But before we celebrate, let this hit home. What did the son bring to the table? His mess. His brokenness. His past. No. But it's all welcome at the table. Because it's all welcome at the table. The son who felt unworthy, who felt like he didn't belong, was actually the guest of honor at this table. They prepared the feast for the son, for the prodigal son, the one who felt like he was unworthy, was who this party was for. Come on, the table was set for the prodigal. Let that hit home. The table was set for the prodigal. This service was set up for the prodigals. See, God gave us this passage in Luke chapter 15 to illustrate how valuable and how important the Son is to the Father. There's many prodigal sons and daughters sitting in this sanctuary today. The Father set up this service just for you. You're the guest of honor in this service. It was like a great big birthday party. It was a welcome home party for the son who felt like he didn't belong. See, the Father set this service up for some of you because he wants you, no, he needs you to know how valuable and how important you are to him. You're the guest of honor. If you're a prodigal, if you've returned home today, if you've made a mess of your life, if God has spoke to you in any way through this sermon today, will you join us at the table? Bring your mess to the table. Bring your brokenness to the table. Bring your past to the table. It's all welcome at the table. Bring your doubts to the table. Bring your failures to the table. Bring your lack of faith to the table. Because it's all welcome at the table. They all gathered around the table. See, no matter what you're carrying around today, no matter where you've been, no matter what's holding you back, it's all welcome at the table. Bring your mess, bring your brokenness, bring your doubts, bring your failures to the table. It's welcome at the table, and it's welcome at this church. Because this table and this church is for real people. Real messy people. Who have made a mess of their lives. But it's all welcome at the table. After they gathered around the table, they celebrated. So I think we're going to celebrate. They had a great big party, a great big celebration at the table. Church, we're called to gather together. We're called to do life together. And the Father says the table was set for you. And he says, welcome home. So bring your brokenness. Bring your mess. Bring your fears to the table. Will you join us at the table? If I could get everyone to stand. See, some days we'll bring our faith, other days we'll bring our fears. Some days we'll bring our past, but other days we'll bring our best. Some days we'll bring our mess to the table, but other days will bring our faith. And when I'm lacking, one of these is supplying. See, all of us are welcome at the table. No matter where you are or where you've been. This morning, I want to open up this table to those of you that are returning home, to the prodigals, to those who've made a mess of their lives, to those who are walking down the wrong road, to those who've distanced themselves, to those who've disconnected themselves from the body, to those who have failed, to those who have walked away, to those who feel like they don't belong. If you're here today and you feel like you don't belong, I want to personally invite you right now to the table. Gather around the table with us. Right now we're going to go into one last song, and it's called Raise a Hallelujah. There's no reason why this place shouldn't be erupting in praise and worship in the next few moments. So I invite some of you, prodigals, those who feel like they don't belong, come to the table, come to the altars. I'll raise